God, our Father, as we've been able to sing your praise and remember the good things that you've done for us, we pray that now as we turn to your word, you will help us to trust what you say in your word, but also you will help us to allow you to change us through your word so that even in the difficult times of life, we'll still be able to know that you're a God who we can trust. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess that probably one of the toughest things in life is the feeling that everyone is against you. Because it's never nice to have anyone working against you, but if you still have some friends to turn to, hopefully that does make it bearable. But when even the people you ought to be able to depend on have let you down, that's tough. It's a very lonely place to be. And I suspect that's how Joseph must have felt as we catch up with his story from the book of Genesis. That's always reminding us, as roller coaster life stories go, his is quite something. Started off as the favorite son of his father Jacob. Although he was the youngest of 11 sons, it was him that Jacob gave a richly ornamented robe to, the sort of thing that a father would give to his heir. Pretty obviously, that didn't go down well with his brothers, and it was made worse when he told them about two dreams he had, which seemed to say that his brothers would end up bowing down to him. And all that led to the first nosedive in his story. His brothers kidnapped him, beat him, and sold him as a slave. So Joseph ended up in Egypt, was bought by Potiphar, captain of Pharaoh's guard, and his fortunes began to look up again, to the point where he was running Potiphar's household. Still might have been a slave, but that was about as good as it got for a slave. And then, if you were here last week, you'll know what came next. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. He refused. She turned on him and accused him of trying to seduce her. And Joseph ended up in prison. At this stage, it must have seemed as if everyone was against him. His brothers, and now not only Potiphar's wife, but Potiphar as well. In fact, the damage to Joseph's reputation once news got around that he'd tried it on with Potiphar's wife would mean that any friends he had made in Egypt would probably turn against him. And it must have seemed to Joseph as though even God was against him. Genesis 39 ends by saying, "But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him." But let's be honest. I wonder if it actually felt like that to Joseph. If God was with him, how could he let all this stuff happen? Particularly Joseph being thrown into prison, not because he did something wrong, but because he refused to do something wrong. But God hadn't abandoned Joseph. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. The roller coaster hadn't finished its run. Once again, Joseph's life begins to improve. Of course, Joseph wasn't the only one in prison. Sometime later, the cupbearer and baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. While they were there, both the cupbearer and the baker had dreams. Joseph was able to interpret what those dreams meant, and Joseph tells the cupbearer that he will soon be out of prison and back in his old job. And then Joseph says, "But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison." And sure enough, 3 days later, the cupbearer was out of prison and back into Pharaoh's service. For Joseph, it must have seemed as though his fortunes were about to change again. And that brings us to tonight's reading. I think Anne's going to come and read for us.
The reading's from Genesis chapter 40, beginning at verse 20. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the river bank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 ears of corn, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other ears of corn sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 healthy, full ears. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." This is the word of the Lord.
In that reading, I think one of the most intriguing parts is what comes between Genesis 40:23 and Genesis 41:1. And now you're obviously glancing down and thinking, but there's nothing there. And there isn't for us. But for Joseph, that gap lasted 2 years. And I kind of wonder what was going on in his mind during that time. The cupbearer had been restored to his official position, just as Joseph had said. So surely he would put in a good word for Joseph with Pharaoh. But one day passed, then 2 days, then a week, then a month. And eventually Joseph must have realized the grim truth that we know about, because verse 23 tells us. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And then comes the intriguing gap. 2 more years in prison. Knowing that he was only there because of a woman's lies and because someone he should have been able to rely on forgot about him. This means that for 13 years, from the age of 17 until he was 30, Joseph was either a slave or in prison. And during that time, everyone had let him down. I wonder how you would have felt if you had been Joseph. I know how most people today would feel if it happens to them. They would feel pretty bitter. They would feel angry. Bitter and angry with the people who had messed up their life. Maybe something similar has happened to you. If you've been going through some difficult experience, maybe if there's someone who is hurting you or gossiping about you or slandering you, the natural reaction is to feel angry with the people who've done this to you. And maybe to feel angry with God. Why has God done this to me? Or why doesn't God do something to get me out of this? Now that's a very human way to respond. But it isn't how Joseph responded. Because all the way through all of this bad stuff that's been happening, Joseph's faith in God seems to have been growing. So, the chief cupbearer and the baker have their dreams. Now, we've seen Joseph have dreams before, right back at the start of the story in Genesis 37. Back then, if you remember, there was no acknowledgement from Joseph that these dreams were from God. Joseph was just interested in himself and how great those dreams made him feel. But now, 13 years on, then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" See a kind of shift in focus. Now, Joseph's focus wasn't on himself and how good these dreams made him feel. His focus starts to be on God. It's not Joseph who's special, it's God who is special. And I think that often has to be the first work God needs to do in our lives. I was mentioning this morning if you're here. It is that moving us from the center so that he can be at the center. You see, you can become a Christian, you can ask the Lord Jesus into your life, and still be hopelessly self-centered. You can go on as a Christian and still be mostly interested in what God can do for you. You can come to worship for what you get out of it. It's the way of the world. And although I guess none of us here tonight would want to admit it, it still lurks there inside us. And that means that before God can use me, he really has to change that aspect of me. Anyway, Joseph interpreted their dreams, or rather, as Joseph realized, God gave Joseph the interpretations. And Joseph passed them on, even the bad news. And as we saw, the chief cupbearer forgot all about Joseph. But God hadn't forgotten about him. In fact, God was still at work in Joseph's life, but also in the circumstances which surrounded his life. Because when Pharaoh had his dreams, finally the chief cupbearer remembered, and Joseph was summoned. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he'd shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one could interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I can't do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh. "But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." You see, Joseph's confidence has now moved right round from being confident in himself to being confident in God. And God gave Joseph the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams and also the wisdom to know how to advise Pharaoh. Joseph didn't rely on himself, but on God. It may have taken 13 years, but he really seems to have learned to trust God. I said a couple of minutes ago that usually the first thing God has to do in our lives is to get our focus off ourselves and onto him. And the next thing he has to do is to teach us to trust him. Because we can best serve God when we rely on him rather than on ourselves. And that's something that cuts two ways. Sometimes I guess we mess up because we depend on our own abilities. And sometimes we back off because we don't think we have any abilities. But actually it's God who calls us and it's God who equips us. So what were Pharaoh's rather bizarre dreams about? Joseph tells him that the 7 cows and the 7 ears of corn all relate to 7 years. And so God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. God doesn't explain why he was going to do that. You have to wait a lot longer in the story to find out that it was part of God's sovereign plan to bring Jacob and his family to Egypt. But at the moment, the result for Joseph was spectacular. Joseph advises Pharaoh to appoint someone to collect the harvest for the first 7 years and store it up so that there would be enough for the next 7 years. And Pharaoh knew that there was really only one man for the job. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So finally, Joseph's story, well, finally for now anyway, Joseph's story is back on the way up. He is now effectively prime minister of Egypt. And this is where God wanted him. But it had taken 13 years of preparation to get him there. And if you trace back through all of that, if Joseph hadn't started out as arrogant and self-centered, then his brothers wouldn't have hated him and sold him as a slave. So he wouldn't have gone to Egypt. And if Potiphar's wife hadn't lied about him, he wouldn't have ended up in prison. So the cupbearer wouldn't have been able to tell Pharaoh about him. Yes, lots of people had treated him badly. But despite what it must have seemed like at the time, God was with Joseph. And after 13 years, Joseph is now at the place where God can use him. Joseph had changed a lot. As he had learned to trust God, so he had let go of pride and selfishness. But there was one more big test ahead. What about Joseph's brothers? What would happen if he met them again? Don't miss next week's exciting installment. But for now, let's pray. And maybe like Joseph, you have been badly let down by others and wonder where God is in your life. But God was at work, even when Joseph was suffering. God, our Father, there are times, I guess, in all of our lives when it is difficult to see you at work. There are times, I guess, for all of us, when people we thought we could trust kind of let us down. Maybe not so spectacularly as in Joseph's story, but it can still happen. And we do pray for any here tonight or any known to us who are going through that situation at the moment. We pray that any doubts about you, you will graciously deal with, and you will help us and help others to know that actually you are at work for our good. Thank you that you've promised that in all things you work for the good of those who love you. And even though sometimes it can be hard holding on to that, we pray that you'll help us and help other Christians we know in those sort of situations to do just that, to hold on to your promise. And we've seen that God had to deal with Joseph's self-centeredness, and that took some time. And Father, we do have to confess that even though we've asked the Lord Jesus to come in to our lives as our Lord, that still that desire to be on the throne of our own lives doesn't go away. And we do pray that you will help us to just allow you to root out any ways in us that are actually putting ourselves first, putting our desires first. Any ways in which, even if subconsciously, we are refusing to allow Jesus to be Lord. Please do that work in us which you did in Joseph. We've seen that Joseph had to learn to trust God, because only then could God really work through him. And so, Father, we do pray that you will help us to do that, that you will help us to trust you, not just in word, but in reality. Help us to trust your good purposes for us. Help us to trust that you actually do want to work through us. You may not be calling us to quite the high office that Joseph ended up in, but you have a work for each of us to do. And it's a work that you want to do through us. Please take our eyes off ourselves and our own weaknesses and limitations, and lift our eyes to you, so that you can do through us what your purposes are, what will bring glory to your name and build up your church. We do ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.